Welcome to episode 16 of the Where Is Job podcast. I am Memphis X. It is December 7th, 2020. And today we are going to have a breakdown of the point guard position for the Memphis Grizzlies. I like to call it the point guard preview.
Where is Job?
Here is Moran turning on the burners. Oh my! Wow! What a ridiculous finish from Job Moran.
Where is Job?
Moran. Down the lane, lays it up, it is! Holy cow! With 0.7 seconds, Ja Morant!
Where is Ja?
Morant with a running start, elevates, oh it dunks! Oh my goodness, Ja Morant!
So the first thing we're going to get into is, like I said, this is going to be the first of the positional previews for the Memphis Grizzlies. We have the preseason starting up this Saturday. It is Monday now, so we should get through all the previews of the positions this week. We're going to start with the point guard position, which I would probably consider the strongest position on the Memphis Grizzlies. We have the reigning rookie of the year in Ja Morant. And his backup that was out during the bubble, Tyus Jones. And we have a question after that. But I still consider this the strongest position on the Memphis Grizzlies. And so first off, we're going to start with Ja Morant. So as you remember, of course, Ja Morant was the Rookie of the Year last year. He averaged per 36, 20 points. 8.5 assists, shot 48% from the field, 34% from three-point range, 4.5 rebounds, 3.8 turnovers. Like I said, he was Rookie of the Year, had a real great rookie season, especially for a point guard by any standards compared to other point guards, compared to other superstar athletic point guards, rookie seasons like Derrick Rose, Westbrook, other guys like that. He had one of the better rookie seasons. Now, coming into the season, he was thought to be a non-shooter, non-defender. But for the most part, especially until the bubble, his three-point percentage was pretty good. It was hovering right around 36% for most of the season before the bubble. Dropped off a little bit during the bubble when he was, I guess, you know, had, you know, less time with Jaren, you know, things like that. His shot was just a little bit off in the bubble. Also, he was thought to be a non-defender. People were comparing his defense coming out of the draft to maybe a step above Trae Young. And honestly, he was not a great defensive player last season as a rookie, but he was more than capable and showed signs of being even a good defender in the future. He has the size, athleticism, the length to be a more than capable defender, able to defend point guards and shooting guards, quite capable of switching. Now, of course, last year he was very thin and he did get bullied a little bit by bigger guards, guys like Jrue Holiday, De'Aaron Fox, kind of, you know, went through him a little bit. It seems like that's one of the things that he took to heart this offseason. Got in the weight room a lot, said he put on 5 pounds, and, you know, we're going to be able to see if that arm sleeve is sliding down this year during the games, and he's doing a lot of pulling up on that arm sleeve to see if he's really put on some muscle. But like I said, you know, fantastic rookie year. You know, he was even in the West, he was probably a, you know, like a dark horse all-star candidate even as a rookie. The Grizzlies were doing real well coming into the, you know, going into the all-star voting, and, you know, I think being a rookie probably, you know, hurt his standing. And, you know, just the West in general is pretty strong, especially with point guards and things like that. So, you know, the question, I guess, is what do we expect from Ja in season two? And this is something that I've been wrestling with, you know, mostly the offseason, you know, what to expect from Ja Morant in season two. And honestly, it seems like whatever I come up with, it's probably going to underestimate what he's going to do this season, because I never could have called his success from his rookie season. I mean, I thought he'd be good, but I thought he'd be good in a regular rookie point guard kind of way. A lot of highlights, a lot of dunks, a lot of missed shots, and a lot of losses. And that just wasn't the case. So I think in year two, we're probably going to see a little bit of a bump up in efficiency, or maybe probably around the same in efficiency, you know, close to, I mean, even if he just maintains his efficiency as a shooter and as a finisher, that'll be good. I think you might see a little bump up in field goal attempts with Jaren being out at the beginning of the year. No Jay Crowder at the beginning of the year. So he's going to have a lot more shot opportunities available to him at the beginning. He's been working on his three-point shot, so hopefully we'll see an uptick in three-point shot attempts, if not percentage. You know, 34% is passable, you know, for a point guard, especially with his speed. It's passable. It's enough to keep people honest. But the thing about it is, it's really not the percentage that I would be looking for. It'd be like, what I'm really looking for is his footwork, especially on his step back, being able to get up, get that shot up off the dribble a little bit better, a little bit quicker than he did as a rookie. And what's funny about it is, he was, at the beginning of his rookie season, that his pull-up jumper was kind of slow. And it took him a while to get to it, and he just, you know, kind of abandoned it, you know. And as the season wore on, it got a little quicker and quicker. But during the bubble, his footwork and his quickness to getting to that, you know, step-back jumper and off the dribble jumper was a lot faster. So I look for that to even get, you know, be more improved going into his second season. And I just think that you're going to see a lot of improvement. He's already taken over the team from a leadership position. He is the face of the franchise. He is the voice of the team. Regardless of what you hear about veteran leadership among other players like Jonas and Kyle Anderson, the veteran leadership on the Memphis Grizzlies is Ja Morant. He is, like I said, he's the face of the franchise. He's the voice of public opinion. And he sets the tone for the team eventually. And you can tell the team is basically a mirror image of him. Young, fast, and aggressive. So that's what I look for. I look for more of that. Now, as far as stat lines for him as his second year, I look for him to bump it up to, and these are all going to be per 36, to the 23 point per game range, over 9 assists. He might even get up until double figure assists. It just depends on the other Grizzlies mainly. What lineups we use in the beginning of the season. I think it'd be a very, very beneficial to him if we have, you know, Desmond Bane playing a lot of minutes with him and giving him some more spacing and another outlet other than Dylan Brooks. And also, that should take some pressure off Dylan Brooks to produce so much as far as scoring goes. So I look for him to be about 23-9 this year per 36. Percentages to be very similar. A little bit of uptake, and I expect him to get the three-point attempts per 36 from 3.1 up to more than 5. 3 point attempts per 36. And I think that would be a good trajectory for Ja Morant. I think now when it comes to awards, kind of see him again being a borderline all-star with, you know, Russell Westbrook moving to the Eastern Conference and possibly James Harden moving to the Eastern Conference. And nobody of significance coming into the West as far as even as a rookie or anything else like that. I think his main competition, and I think it'll be between him and De'Aaron Fox as far as, you know, taking Westbrook's spot on the All-Star team. And I think it'll all depend on, you know, team success mostly. I think they'll both have real good seasons, so I think it'll be depending on mostly on how their teams do during the first part of the season. So, as of now, I thought Ja Morant was, you know, top 10-ish point guard in the league as a rookie. Going into his second season, I could see him probably in the 8-ish range, 8 to 10 range. I see a couple guys that's going to be in front of him. I would say you're going to have Luka, Trae Young. These are not in order. These are just the guys. Luka, Trae Young, Dame, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul. Let's see. Chris Paul. Then you got Steph Curry, Ben Simmons, Kyle Lowry, and Kyrie. And those are the guys that are only the guys that I would say were definitely, and that's 9. So I would have him probably about at 10. But there's an outside chance that a couple of those guys could fall off and he could surpass them in this ranking. So I'd say he'd be comfortably in the 10 range, inside 10. I would have him at 10 right now, 9 or 10. Depends on who falls off. But now with regard to Tyus Jones, I would say Tyus Jones had a phenomenal season. First season as a Memphis Grizzly. Proved a more than capable backup point guard to Ja Morant. Him being a backup was a plus. Let's look at his stats for Memphis per 36. He was 14 points, 8 assists, 8.3 assists, 1.7 steals, only 1.6 turnovers, which is his biggest value. He shot 46% from the field, 38% from three, and about 74% from the line. So as you can say, Tyus Jones is just going to be 24 years old this year. I think he's one of the best backup point guards in the league. And the reason why I say he's one of the best backup point guards in the league, because I think he is one of the top 20-ish point guards in the game, period. I think he is very, very underrated nationally, especially among people who talk about, you know, the NBA. I think he is very underrated. His ball control is one of the top things that I can say about any point guard. He runs your team efficiently, distributes the ball well, shoots well, can play on and off the ball. Can, you know, even off the ball, he can serve as a very, very capable three-point threat. He's not going to make mistakes, not going to turn the ball over. Very, very capable of playing defense, especially defending the point guard position. Doesn't really get overwhelmed by shooting guards either when he's defending. I think he is probably one of the most underrated assets in the NBA right now. Nobody ever talks about him being available. Nobody ever talks about him, team coming to get him, especially the teams that are needing a point guard, and a couple of playoff teams that I think are needing a point guard. I think you could see them, well, I think especially one of them, I think both of them would like to have him as their starting point guard, and I think one of them has the assets to make it happen. Those two teams would be the Los Angeles Clippers and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Clippers don't have any draft picks, so they're not really an interesting destination, especially from a Grizzlies perspective. I think that, you know, depending on the health of point guards around the league, I think he is somebody that really could come into, you know, focus as a trade target, especially a month into the season. But, you know, between that month into the season and the trade deadline, I think he's going to be one of the targets that you're going to start to hear about. I think he's going to have a fantastic season this year in Memphis. I think it's going to be more of the same, but more comfortable. I think you're going to see him playing more in 3 and 4 guard lineups, playing more alongside Ja Morant. And letting Ja Morant score, let both of them capable of being off the ball also. Ja Morant is a, you know, very good set shooter. And I think, and I know Tyus Jones is an excellent shooter off the catch. So I think they will play, you're going to see more lineups with them together to increase the pace, especially when Jaren gets back and when, you know, and when Justice is healthy, Winslow, you're going to see a lot more of Tyus Jones, I believe, this year. Last year, he averaged, last year he averaged just 19 minutes per game. I think you're going to see that jump up to about 23-ish minutes per game. I think you're going to see Ja Morant's minutes stay about the same, around the 30-ish range for most of the year because of the, you know, the COVID situation and all these, you know, back-to-back games and the travel and the condensed season. So I think you're going to see more of that. And I just think it's going to be real beneficial for the Grizzlies to get, you know, Tyus Jones on the court more. Less mistakes, especially during crunch time, and to increase the shooting that the team desperately needs. So now the teams, like I said, the teams that I think they're going to come asking about him, I think it's going to be the most obvious is going to be the Clippers and the 76ers. And I think the 76ers have an easily trade package. I think Tyus Jones is easily worth a first round draft pick. He might be able to get them a first and a second in a trade and get them some expiring contracts and open up, you know, max cap room in 2021. I'm not sure what they would go after. And this might be a little dicey. It really depends on where the Grizzlies are as a team because, like I said, Tyus Jones is an important, as we saw in the bubble, Tyus Jones is an important element of the success of the team, making the second unit so deadly. Him, Anthony Melton, and Brandon Clark made the second unit really, really deadly. So he's an important element to the success to the success of the team. So trading him is going to be a big decision, especially because we have this other problem on the team, and that is we don't really have a third point guard on the team. Now, everybody thought that Winslow would serve as that third point guard, but he hadn't been healthy, of course, hadn't played a game yet for the Memphis Grizzlies. So it's hard to say if he can, you know, serve as that role. I don't like Kyle Anderson in that role. I don't like DeAnthony Melton in that role. And there's really nobody else on the team that is capable of playing a serious role as a competent point guard. If either Ja Morant or Tyus Jones misses time, you know, with injury or, you know, God forbid COVID or anything like that, I don't think there's anybody else on the team that's capable of playing, giving us anything more than spot minutes at point guard. So I think that that is one of the questions that we had coming into the offseason, getting a third point guard, especially after the bubble performance. And the Grizzlies didn't seem to address that. We got some more shooting, even with our two-way contracts. We kept Jontay Porter, brought in Killian Tilly and Sean McDermott. And even our Exhibit 10 guy is not even a point guard. So we did nothing, nothing, nothing to address the third point guard position. And that is kind of, to me, the real big flashing sign that says the Grizzlies are quite comfortable with, you know, letting the chips fall where they went, where they may, as far as our position, our standings position. They're not making a real, real strong push for the playoffs this year, because I feel that if they were making a stronger push for the playoffs, they would have even a, they would have a more competent third point guard on the roster right now, because the team is really, you know, susceptible to any kind of, you know, missed time for Ja Morant or Tyus Jones. So I think that, you know, we still, like I said, this is we still got 5 days until the, you know, preseason starts. So we can see, you know, maybe they'll bring somebody in via trade, because they still have Hazonia and Marco Gudrich contracts on the books, even though they're not in camp. And we have the big expiring contract of Gorgui Dieng. So, you know, we still have some avenues to make moves in the coming into the season. But as of right now, I see them just sticking with the two guys that they have right now and going from there. After the break, you will hear the media day talks of Ja Morant and Tyus Jones when they talk to the media for the media week. So if you've heard it before, you can move on. But if not, like, subscribe, share this podcast with other Grizzly fans. And I will see you guys tomorrow with the shooting guard preview.
We'll go ahead and get started with Drew Hill.
Hey, John, last year, especially at the end of the year, we heard a lot about the underdog role, getting picked 27th. When you go into this season now, a lot of these predictions are coming out, projections. They don't have you pegged as a playoff team again. Do you take notice of that, and is that motivating for you?
It is motivating. I know for me it is. And I know it is for my teammates as well. We know what we have to do. Right now, you know, our focus is on, you know, this training camp, preparing for the season. And at the end of the season, you know, if we do the right things, we'll be in position to make the playoffs.
Next, we'll go to Evan Barnes.
Last year, you guys kind of had this, you know, for you personally, do you feel that you're more comfortable this year now that you've had kind of the, you know, this is your second training camp? What feels different for you coming into this year than say last year?
I could say, you know, this year I know what to expect. I mean, it is different, you know, with COVID, but, you know, having a year under my belt, experience and learning a lot of things from my rookie season, you know, I'm very comfortable going into my second season.
Terry Davis.
What's up, Ja? Hello, what's up? Can you hear me? Okay. Hey, Ja, last year y'all had some leaders, you know, that left this team. Are you looking to get, you know, that leadership role in the locker room, getting up in players' face to get them to do what they need to do? Because I know last year you was just trying to learn the thing, but are you willing to do that, or do you have somebody on your team that can take their leadership role to get people in line and do what they need to do?
You know, I'm willing to do that. And, I mean, if I'm having a bad day, I expect my teammates to do the same. So, you know, we have to all hold each other accountable. But as far as, you know, being a leader, I feel like that's my job. So I'm ready for it.
Peter Fleischer.
Hey, Ja, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask, there's a video circulating around Instagram that claims to show you at the party that happened last weekend in Memphis. It's gotten a lot of attention, particularly from the health department, for the number of people there, for the lack of masks. Do you have any comment on that video, and kind of how seriously have you had to adjust the way that you've had to live due to COVID coming into the season? Thanks.
You know, I just have to, you know, be more aware of the situation and, you know, what I do. As far as that, you know, I should have, you know, had a mask on throughout the party, but, you know, I'm still learning all the rules and protocols that, you know, the NBA has handed to us this year. And, you know, our coaches and our head people in the organization constantly remind us of everything, you know, every day. So I expect, you know, more and more stuff to, you know, come as the season go on with the protocols. And, you know, me and my teammates all, you know, will learn it and held each other accountable for stuff.
Teresa Walker.
Ja, what is it that maybe you want to work on or have been working on to try to add or improve in your game going into your second season?
I can say I gained about, you know, 5 pounds, you know, working, you know, at IMG Academy and also with the Grizzly staff. So that was, you know, one of the main things going into year two that I, you know, wanted to, you know, improve on. And I've been working with IMG and Blake and Dave here with shooting. I've been getting a lot of reps in, and you know, my percentages have, you know, improved from every workout that I had since the season went off. So, you know, just keep tracking those and, you know, attacking the season and, you know, prove everybody wrong is my number one goal. And I know with those things, I'll be able to do that.
Mike Sadie.
Hey, Ja, with Jaren and Justice, you know, still coming back from their injuries, you know, you put a lot on yourself in the bubble without those guys. Do you feel even more pressure to start the season without having two of the other four starters on the floor with you? And how much of it are you putting on yourself to make sure this thing keeps clicking even without two starters?
You know, with being a leader, I put a lot of pressure on myself. But, I mean, we didn't have, you know, those guys in the bubble, which, you know, was a loss for us. But we have to play with what we have. I feel like we have a lot of talent on this team, as I've been saying since, you know, I got here. We just got to focus on, you know, what we have right now. Go in and attack each game like we do any other game. We can't worry about who's playing and who's not playing.
Sean Coleman. Sean, you there?
Ja, going into this last season, you emerged as one of the premier fourth quarter producers in the league, especially when it came to scoring. And it certainly seems like that's going to be needed again at the start of this season. Is it a mixture of no moment is too big for you, plus knowing that your ability to get to the rim truly stands out in the fourth quarter? What really makes you successful at that point of the game?
You know, I live for those moments. I like when the, you know, odds or pressure is stacked against me. So, I feel like that's when I thrive the best. But as far as, you know, the fourth quarter, I see that as winning time, and I'm going to have to, you know, do whatever I have to, you know, put my team in a position to win the basketball game, whether it's if it's me scoring or, you know, me setting up my teammates for some basket or whatever to win the game. So.
Jonathan Marshall.
Hey, what's going on, Ja?
How you doing?
Good. With so much uncertainty, you know, you see what's going on with the NFL and the games being switched and things being postponed. Mentally, how are you preparing yourself for just the unpredictable, you know, the unpredictable nature of this pandemic and the responsibility you guys have in the locker room to just make sure you guys are doing what you're supposed to do to make sure, you know, everything goes smoothly as possible?
I don't even know, honestly. I guess you just got to, you know, prepare for, you know, anything that happens. But as far as us as the Grizzlies, like I said before, our coaches and organization, you know, tell us the protocols almost each and every day. So we, you know, try to do our best at it, whether it's getting testing, everybody, you know, wear their mask around. We just, I guess, can't be the team that have positive COVID cases.
Megan Triplett.
Hey, Ja, we've seen you tweet out, you know, kind of welcome to Memphis, all the new guys, but what makes you really excited about working with this new group that we drafted and have also signed?
I feel like, you know, we drafted a good class this year. We added some shooting, a lot of, you know, people who can guard multiple positions. It's just, you know, me, you know, being here, I try to, you know, do whatever I can to help those guys. You know, I have guys help me my first year coming in, and I'm just trying to make them as comfortable as possible and, you know, show them what Memphis is about.
Parker Fleming.
Hey, Ja, just from the bubble, what were some of the biggest takeaways that you drew both in your personal game but also from watching some of the performances in the playoffs?
Can you repeat that, please?
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Just from the bubble, what were some of your biggest takeaways from both your personal game but also the performances that we saw in the playoffs?
As for me, I feel like I could have been better in a lot of places. Obviously, I didn't get the job done, so that's a big takeaway. But as performances in the playoffs, you know, we had a lot of guys who, how we say it, went crazy, scoring a lot of points, especially young talent. So as far as that bubble situation, I feel like a lot of guys, you know, thrived in that. It probably felt like it was easier without the fans. It's just like you playing, no travel or anything. But that's really about it.
Dwayne Rankin.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Ja, just looking back just on last season, there were two guys that you played with that, you know, as far as Jay Crowder and Josh Jackson. What's your takeaways from those two? Obviously, Jay didn't finish with you guys, but made a difference why he was there. Coach raved about him yesterday. What's the impressions or what are your takeaways from playing with Crowder and Josh Jackson?
You know, both of those guys, anytime they're out on the floor, they're going to give you their all. They can do a lot for a team. I definitely, you know, enjoy both of those guys here. Both of them still my bros. I wish them the best in their careers. But, you know, they can, like I said, do a lot on the floor, whether it's the scoring or defending somebody on the other end. So.
Is there anything that each of them did for you individually that you can appreciate?
They both helped me out a lot, whether it was talking, you know, just telling me about the league. Coming in, Jay definitely, you know, took me under his wing. You can see almost every time if he's playing or if something happened with him that, you know, I'm saying something about it. He definitely, you know, took me under his wing and helped me out a lot. Still talk to him now. So, you know, I appreciate that.
Sharon Brown.
Hey, Ja, how you doing?
How you doing?
Is there any added pressure for you and the guys to try to prove everybody wrong who had you guys, like, 10th in the preseason standings?
Nah, not at all. I feel like as of now, we're used to it. So I feel like it's nothing new for us. We just got to go out and handle business.
Keith Parrish.
Hey, Ja, how's it going?
How you doing?
There's a lot of roster continuity on the team. So what are you looking for from the new guys, like from the rookies, or what's something you're interested to see in training camp from the guys you don't know so well yet?
I'm just really ready to see, you know, what kind of team we're going to be, especially with the new guys. I feel like, you know, we have some very talented guys coming in, guys who, you know, willing to work, guys who are about the right things. And I feel like as a team, that would help us a lot. So I'm excited to see, you know, what they bring to the table.
Peter Edmiston.
Yeah, Ja, you talked about gaining 5 pounds of muscle and doing a lot of work in the offseason at IMG and elsewhere. What specifically did you work on with your game? You said you weren't necessarily satisfied with your performance in the bubble. What are the things that you've specifically been working on and want to unleash this year?
Everything.
That's it, everything?
I feel like it's that simple.
Mike Sadie.
Hey, Ja, you know, everything that happened with you last year, number two pick, rookie of the year, but you're just still 21 years old. How hard has this pandemic been on you and just being able to be you and enjoy yourself when you got so many things that you're not able to do as a young guy trying to build your brand in the NBA? How hard has this been for you?
I don't think it's as hard, you know, people might make it seem. Before the number two pick, rookie of the year, I've been a guy that's, you know, been inside the house, just working on my game. And I feel like during this pandemic, I've been doing the same thing. I feel like the hard part as of now is, you know, just having the privacy and freedom. I tell, you know, my family, I trade my privacy and freedom any day with them. Because, you know, I can't go out and, you know, just go get something to eat or anything because, you know, people will recognize me. But, I feel like that was just the hard part. I can't get out, you know, and enjoy myself without something happening. So.
Well, I know that these protocols are all in place for y'all's safety and to get the NBA season done, but we don't get tested every day. How hard are these protocols on you guys and your teammates to get tested every day just to be able to do the game you love to play?
I'm not a fan of the tester. It hurts, but if that's, you know, what I have to do to play the, you know, game I love and, you know, do what I have to do, then I do it. So.
All right, that's all the time we have today. Thank you for joining us, Joe.
No problem.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Playing for the Memphis Grizzlies, it was March 10th against the Orlando Magic. So it's been a while, and you're unique among the Grizzlies in that you're in a spot where obviously you went to the bubble, but because of injury, you weren't able to participate in the seeding games and the play-in game against Portland. Given all the time that's gone between your last game and the ones coming up here, obviously in this restart, how long do you think it'll take you to get back into a rhythm, especially considering all of the issues with COVID and the way that the team's integrating stuff, getting into training camp?
Yeah. I think that's one of the main and biggest questions is how quickly can guys get back into game shape? And the best way to do that is by playing and playing games. So, hopefully, you know, I've been trying to get in the best shape as possible, feel really good at, you know, with where I am personally. I know a lot of guys are feeling the same way. We've just been grinding, getting after it, trying to condition ourselves. And so we can, you know, the ramp up period, you know, is quick. We hop right into games, you know, with only a few days of practice under our belt. So, you know, just trying to get our game legs, you know, ready and up under us. And hopefully, you know, the transition will be smooth and we'll be in pretty good shape. So I'm feeling good personally. I know I'm ready for the season to get going. And like you said, it's been a while since I've been able to play. So I'm eager and excited to get going.
We'll go to Teresa Walker.
Tyus, as you watched the team finish up in Orlando and you saw Ja finish that season, what's the expectation for this team, no matter what the season, if it resembles a normal season as much as possible? But what can this team do to take a next step? And specifically, what do you expect out of Ja now that he's had a season in the league?
I expect, you know, all of us, you know, as a team, first and foremost, to take that next step forward, to build on what we did last year. I think last year we were just laying the foundation. You know, we had high expectations for ourselves, but I know everyone was kind of overlooking us. And so, you know, we kind of surprised a lot of people to a certain extent, but that's what we expected out of our locker room. And so we hold ourselves to a high standard. We want to take, you know, that next step forward and improve on what we did last year. And I think the same goes for 12. He holds himself to a high standard. He expects a lot out of himself. And that's what you love about him. He's never satisfied. He's never, you know, he never settles. He's continuing to work, continuing to grind. And, you know, he wants to be even better this year than he was last year. And he wants to take the next step you know, for himself as well. And I envision that. I see himself being even better than he was last year, and just with a season under his belt, more comfortable, more familiar with the system, the NBA game, everything like that. And so I'm excited for him because I know it'll be a big year.
Evan Barnes.
Tyus, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. Two things. One, how has the dad life been now that you're back out of the bubble? How's that been for you? And also, we saw your brother got drafted. Just kind of what was that process like, being able to watch him, and how excited are you to see his NBA career get going?
Being a dad is the most amazing thing in the world. So just been enjoying that. Being in the bubble was difficult, being away from my son, just not being, you know, all you want to do is be around them 24/7. So getting a chance to get home and be with him and spend that time was amazing. And I'm, you know, very thankful and cherish, you know, every single day, just because it was tough in the bubble being away from him and seeing, you know, they hit so many different, you know, growths, spurts, checkpoints. Don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but you know, they start to develop at such a quick rate the younger they are. So definitely don't want to miss out on any of those things. So it's been great to be back home and be around him. And as far as my brother goes, yeah, I'm extremely excited for him. Extremely happy. He put the work in. It's been a dream and goal of ours for us both to play in the NBA since we were little. Like we always dreamed about it, talked about it. Like we were literally texting yesterday morning, just with the first day of everything, training camp getting started. Like, this is what we talked about. Like, this is what we always talked about. And we always knew it would happen, just cause we're confident in each other, but like, it's really here now. Like we're both in the NBA. We're both about to, you know, start this. I'm starting year six, he's starting year one, and it's like it's really here. So extremely happy for him. He just puts the work in, and he deserves it. So excited for him.
Drew Hill.
Tyus, we saw some tweets last night. Obviously game didn't go the way you expected. When do you think you will finally stop hearing from Xavier and Jaren about it? And do you hope Duke gets a second chance at Michigan State this year?
I'm not gonna hear from Xavier about it because he's a rookie, so I'm gonna make sure I don't. Well, we're gonna end that right away. But Jaren, of course, I walked in today, and he walks in at the same time, and so that's the first thing he talks about. And so I won't hear the end of it from JJ. But I know they'll both let me have it, you know, throughout the year. And yeah, I hope that we can get that rematch. You know, maybe in the tournament, and we'll be good. We'll take care of business then. So, we jumped out to an early lead, so I was feeling good, feeling confident, and then the tables turned on me. So, I should have waited to send out some of those tweets, I guess. But you live and you learn.
Pete Baranica.
Hey Tyus, obviously. Crazy off season. Can you tell us a little bit about the process in terms of communicating with coaches and performance staff between the bubble and now the run up to this season?
Yeah, I think we were in constant communication. Myself, just with all the coaches, not only Taylor, but you know, our assistant coaches as well, and just staying in constant communication. They did a great job of kind of allowing guys to have their freedom. You know, getting a chance to get home and spending time with, you know, our families in these tough times, obviously, that, you know, the world's going through with COVID. But they also, you know, gave us the freedom, like I said, to spend that downtime with our families, and also trusting us to continue to put the work in and continue to stay in shape and be ready for this next season. And did a great job communicating with our, you know, performance staff as well. And we were all kind of on the same page with stuff. And guys are looking really good, you know, heading into this season. So I'm excited for it. I think everyone's just ready to get it going.
Sean Coleman.
T-
Tyus, welcome back. It's going to be really exciting to see you back on the court. Last year, it did seem like, beyond, obviously the tremendous value your passing adds, there was a significant step forward when it came to your shooting, especially from distance. It was exciting to see something Memphis certainly needs, to stay competitive and continue exceeding expectations. Your approach this season with that part of your game, it definitely seems like there were, great results last year. Does your approach change going into this year, and do you feel like that's going to continue being a big emphasis for you when you're out on the court?
Yeah, for sure. And that's something that we good?
You're good now.
Okay. That was something that I focused on and that I talked with Coach about during the season last year, and I mean even going into this season now, was just being aggressive, looking to score the ball as well, shooting the ball. Felt like I shot the ball well, especially after kind of the first part of the season. Felt like I settled in, got comfortable, started looking for my shot more, got more familiar with the system and things like that. So looking to hit the ground running as far as that goes this year. And yeah, so definitely something that, I feel like I can bring to the team is my 3-point shooting. And so looking to continue to build on that, like I said, hit the ground running as far as that goes this year.
Peter Edmiston.
Yeah, Tyus, so we talked about the game last night in Cameron Indoor. It was very weird to see no fans and to not have the Cameron crazies. It was a very odd atmosphere. Obviously, the bubble was really odd as well. And some teams will have fans, some teams won't. There'll be a few fans here and there. How does it affect the way you prepare and play a game when you can hear so much more, when you can talk so much more, and there's just not that energy from the crowd that picks you up?
Yeah, it's extremely different. It really makes you just kind of lock in on the game. But it's some guys benefit from the fans and from that feeling of crowds yelling at you or your home crowds kind of pushing you. And some guys could care less either way. So it just depends. But it definitely affects the game to a certain extent. I think it kind of takes away the home court advantage to a certain extent. So I think there will be, I don't know what the numbers will be. I know, like, just with college, for example, like last night, I know the crazies have a crazy impact on the games, and it's going to be a much more difficult task, I think, to just defend home court without being able to rely on, a student section, or like for the NBA, for example. I think certain arenas that won't allow fans, it'll be different, on a night-to-night basis. Just teams will have to lock in and kind of create their own energy. So it does make a huge difference, I think. And I know person to person, it kind of depends, who you're asking. But I think it makes a difference. You just got to be a pro and lock in and show up ready to handle business.
Any other questions for Tyus? All right. Thank you, Tyus, for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Hey, turn it up.